Swami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life and in the Puranas and histories as well, for you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Purport. A Goswami, or the bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva, must be freed from all kinds of vices. The four major vices of Kali Yuga are illicit connection with woman, animal slaughter, intoxication, speculative gambling of all sorts. The Goswami must be freed from all these vices before he can dare to sit on Vyasasana. No one should be allowed to sit on Vyasasana who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above-mentioned vices. He not only should be freed from all such vices, but must also be well-versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also part of the Vedas, and histories like Mahabharata or Ramayana are also parts of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all this literature. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravana and explaining is called Kirtana. The two processes of Shravana and Kirtana are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Vishvayauchu, Vayakhalu Puranani, Setihasani Chanaka, Akhyatani Apyaditani, Dharma Shastrani Yandita. Translation, the sages said, respected Sutta Swami, you are completely freed from all vices. You are well versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and histories as well, for you have gone through them under the proper guidance and have also explained them.
Srila Prabhupada begins this purport by defining a Goswami as a bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva. The rishis, that's Shonakadi Rishi, means the rishis beginning with Shonaka, are addressing Sutta, who Srila Prabhupada always refers to as Sutta Goswami. So the literal translation of Goswami is not anything like a bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva. It simply means one who controls his senses. It can also mean one who controls cows. Can also mean one who controls the earth. But it's generally taken to mean one who controls the senses. So what Srila Prabhupada is stressing here is that to be a bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva, one must be a Goswami, one must control the senses. This is discussed by him, by Srila Prabhupada, in the preface to what? Who can say? It's preface to which book? Nectar of Instruction. Based on the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction, which is? You can all say? I'll say it together. Vato vegam manasah krodha vegam jiva vegam udarapasto vegam etan vegam yobishaheta dhira sarvam apimam prithivim sashisha. Which means the urges of the urge to speak, the urge to indulge the tongue in various tastes, the urge to vajra vegam, manasa krodha vegam, the urges of the mind and anger, the urges to fill the belly and to indulge the genitals. All these, if they are controlled, then one becomes a dhira, a self-controlled person, peaceful person. And Rupa Goswami says that such a person is qualified to make disciples. within this world, or all over the world. So based on this, Srila Prabhupada says that a Goswami is a bona fide representative of Sri Vyasadeva. It's not simply a matter of being a scholar. Vyasadeva was a great scholar. Many people have translated or tried to explain the works of Vyasadeva. There's coming out of Oxford University under the editorship of Max Muller, was the series of books, the Ancient Books of the East. Translations of the Vedas, the Puranas, the Vedanta Sutra, Manusmriti, and many other such books, including Buddhist books. So they're translated, but by, as Srila Prabhupada would call it, by dictionary knowledge. The people, they have got some mastery of Sanskrit, but they are not Sanskrit. Sanskrit means fully purified or fully affected. They are not purified. Therefore, they have no insight into the meaning of Shastra. They do not have Sanskriti, which means culture. It's translated as culture. But the modern or anthropological concept of culture and that of Sanskriti are quite different. Although the anthropologists and sociologists would consider Vedic culture to be just another culture in the world. But Sanskriti means the Vedic process by which one becomes purified by sanskars, which are various ceremonies which help to purify the consciousness. So unless one has there are certain qualifications which are described in Shastra itself for explaining it, which is the grounds for which in the Madhya Yuga, as it's called, that's the Indian language takeoff of the Western term medieval. It means what was in the Western world, in Europe, was called the medieval ages. So in India at the time, it's not Madhya Yuga, actually, they call it that. But in India at the time, there were, at the same time, around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is actually the end of the medieval period in the West. It's the beginning of the Renaissance, or Enlightenment. So at that time there were religious books being written in the vernacular languages of India, such as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Songs being composed, devotional songs, religious songs being composed in the various vernacular languages. And translations of Ramayana and Mahabharata, especially from Sanskrit into various what we nowadays call regional languages, of which the most famous by far is the Ramcharitmanas of Tulsidas. Translation, not exactly translation, but another work on the Ramayana. It's not exactly a translation. Follows more or less the same storyline. Anyway, there was much protest from the Brahmanas that only Brahmanas are fit to explain the Shastra. And that should be, the idea is that they are educated in Sanskrit, and then they explain it, possibly in other languages, in the local vernacular languages. So they didn't like that these works should be available in the vernacular language. You know what I mean by vernacular? It means, like, in this context, it means what we nowadays call Hindi and Bengali and Tamil and all these different languages. The common language spoken by the people. So they didn't like this because they said, only Brahmins should explain. If you make it available to everyone, then everyone will be explaining it. So there's truth in that, that the Shastra should be explained only by qualified persons. And qualification of a Brahmana is, beginning qualification is that there must be sense control. Otherwise, and that is not just some kind of theory, but it's practically tested. Here Srila Prabhupada speaks of the four major vices of Kali Yuga: illicit connection with women, animal slaughter, intoxication, and speculative gambling of all sorts. So it's not just a matter of, so someone may say that, well, I'm drinking, but I'm not attached. I'm drinking alcohol. But, you know, it's, I just take a little, so it doesn't matter. This we've heard in the Christian world, isn't it? And it's still an idea in the Western world that it doesn't matter if you drink, but you shouldn't drink too much. A little bit is okay, but drinking too much is not good. You've heard that? That's the general idea in the West. But everything is defined in Shastra. Those who do not know, according to Shastra, they're described as demons. Pravritting cha, nivritting cha. Janana vidura suraha. Nashocham na picha charo na satyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demons do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done according to the prescriptions of Shastra. Therefore, they have no cleanliness, because they consider cleanliness in the Western world. Cleanliness means what? To not to have any marks on your clothing. That's called cleanliness. But the idea of daily taking shower or bathing is, they don't think that's necessary. Or bathing after passing stool. They have no such idea. So the Vedic idea of cleanliness and the Western idea of cleanliness are quite different. Then we're just talking about bodily cleanliness here. It's a much bigger subject. Nashocham na picha charo. They don't know what is proper behavior. In England, where the present bag of stool that I'm inhabiting is from, it's considered proper to say please and thank you all the time. So, please give me another piece of roast beef. Roast beef is the symbol of a true Englishman, they consider. So, very politely asking for some more roast beef, because they don't know. They think it's proper and good to eat roast beef, but according to Shastra, this is extremely sinful. So I'm just giving some examples. Nasatyam, they don't know what is truth. Therefore, they don't know the ultimate standard of truth, which is understanding our relationship with Krishna. Everything is in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the ultimate truth. Therefore, they make so many mistakes in so many ways. And even in the name of following the Shastra, So many mistakes may be made. Sripad Shankaracharya has propagated a philosophy which is meant for making people confused on the basis of Shastra. He wasn't the first. There are others also. All the interpreters of Shastra, according to the Patanjali's yoga, or this atomic theory of Karnad. So, it's quoting Shastra, but they don't understand the proper purpose of the Shastra, even though they may be self-controlled. They may be following the basic principles. So, to be a representative of Sri Vyasadeva, one must understand the Siddhanta. What is the actual principle of Shastra? That is being described here in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we've just read, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. This is the actual, this is the real message of the Shastra. After you've been through all the Karma Kanda, the Vedas, the three Vedas, usually the Vedas are described as three, or sometimes as four. Rig, Sama, Yajur. And sometimes Atharva. Yeah, Atharvas also, but sometimes that's not included. So after you've been through all the Vedas, which Trigunya Vishaya Veda, they at least at face value, they deal with fruitive activities, activities within the modes of nature. So when you're fed up of all that, then Atato Brahma Jignyasa, then one comes to the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, the Upanishads, and the Vedanta Sutra. And then, rising higher, we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Vyasadeva begins it by saying, well, actually, all of that wasn't the real thing. This is the real thing. That was just for people who aren't ready for the real thing, because they're not. Paramo niyamatsaranam satam. They're not free from envy. They're not purified. So, to be a representative of Sri Vyasadeva, one must be a Goswami, not a bhogvilasi, not one who indulges in, yeah, just take it out, sensual activities. One must be in control of the senses, one must be free from envy, and one must have studied Shastra under the guidance of one who is in the proper parampara, hearing, or must have heard it. Srila Prabhupada's books are written in a manner that is very clear, but still people misinterpret them. Or they give a different interpretation from, or let's put it this way, there are different interpretations of Srila Prabhupada's books and his teachings, which just goes to show how the system of breaking parampara, yoga nashta parantapa, that happens, that Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that one simply, the parampara that's coming down by hearing and explaining, but it becomes spoiled. Well, how does that happen? If there are two people here from the same bona fide source, but one gets a different understanding to the other, that's what happens. Just like in the case of Brahma, he instructed simultaneously Indra, the king of the demigods, and Virochana, the king of the demons, came for instruction to Brahma in Atma-gyan, knowledge of the self. So Brahma started off by saying that, well, Atma means the body. So the body is the self. And Virajana said, very good, that's what I thought. Thank you very much. See you later. And he left. And Indra said, well, isn't there something more? He said, there's, Brahma said, there certainly is. Now Virajana's gone, let's discuss it. So it's true that Atma means the body, but that's not the highest meaning of it. But Virajana was convinced that, yeah, well, Atma means the body, so the body is all in all. That's most important. So he heard, but he didn't. Why didn't he wait, as Indra did, to get higher knowledge? If one is going to get knowledge, it's presumed that one should want to get that knowledge to the highest level. You would think like that, but actually many people don't. Many people want, they have a preconception of what is the highest knowledge, and they only want, they're not very interested in actually hearing from others, but they will do if they think that that hearing, what is there, will bolster what they already consider to be correct. So in other words, they're not fit to be disciples. They're not inquisitive to hear knowledge. They don't think that anyone is fit to teach them. They have a preconception, and they don't want to change that. So one has to be a disciple like Arjuna. Shishaste hang shadimam tvang prapannam. One has to be ready to hear from the bona fide authority. Srila Prabhupada often used the example of a blank slate. One should, when approaching the spiritual master, one should be like a blank slate. That means without any preconceived notions. Blank slate. Slate means in this context like a blackboard. So if it's already full up with writing, then you can't write anything else. Or you have to wipe it all out. But to save the teacher the difficulty of wiping it all out, you come empty. Now I understand I don't know anything, you teach me. But if one comes with preconceptions, it's very difficult to teach. Because preconceptions means illusion. If whatever we have learned in this world, in millions of lifetimes, and in this lifetime, if it's not heard from a bona fide source, it's either wrong or it's understood wrongly. It may be correct. For instance, it's correct to state that New Delhi is the capital of India. But how we understand what is the position of India within the universe, and how we understand the temporality and the non-importance of that such knowledge is ultimately of no real worth. So understanding it from the perspective of the absolute truth, this knowledge is not important. It may be of some temporary importance while we're living in this world to understand this, or to know this. It's not really a matter of understanding it. It's a simple point. So we may know some things which are correct, but our understanding of them or evaluation of them is incorrect. So one has to come as a blank slate. That means without preconceptions. And hear. And explain, Prabhupada says. It's important to what we have heard to explain that, because then the understanding becomes, when it's expressed, then realization comes. We're forced to, or within the thinking process, what happens is we have to actually understand it, to explain it. It's no use. parrot-like repetition, just learning verses without understanding them, that may be of some value, but not very much value if we don't really understand it. Just like so many times, I make a point that I ask devotees to give a shloka to back up this point, and they're just sitting there, blank face. And then I suggest the first lines, and then they chant the shloka. It means they know the verse, but they don't know how to apply it. So it's not very... it's not much realization. They're learning like a parrot, you could say, which is all right. That's better than learning nonsense, parrot-like. But actually, to be a disciple, one has to be intelligent, not a robot. Shastra is not meant for unintelligent people. It's meant for the most intelligent. Intelligence comes from purification in terms of activities. One cannot understand Shastra if one is engaging in sinful life. And purification of intent. Just like the Mayavadis, their activities may be very pure, but their intention is to kill Krishna. Yes, to philosophically kill Krishna. So, they also can't understand. They're attracted to the wrong interpretations of Shastra. That is described by Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, that persons may be very good at acting or very good at philosophically speculating, but they're bewildered. Mogha, what is that? Moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasaha. Rakshasam asaram chaiva prakritim mohinim shutaha. Persons, they have their, because their hopes are simply, it's all simply based on bewilderment. Their activities are based on bewilderment. Their knowledge is based on bewilderment because of their demoniac outlook. Therefore, they can't, even though they may be very good scholars in some ways, they may be good at finding out information, analyzing it, they may have the intelligence to do so, but they always come up with the wrong conclusion because they haven't started with the humility of submitting themselves to an acharya, and they haven't... They don't have the intention to surrender to Krishna. Just like when Giriraj Maharaj first approached Srila Prabhupada, the first time he saw him at the end of Prabhupada's lecture, Giriraj Maharaj asked, this is before he surrendered in devotional service and became a devotee, he asked that about understanding God, and Srila Prabhupada said, do you want to be God or do you want to serve God? Srila Prabhupada threw a question back at him, and then Giriraj Maharaj realized that actually my idea was to, I was thinking of being God, but the real thing is to serve God. So by replying with a question, Srila Prabhupada exposed to Giriraj Maharaj his whole his own perverted mentality, which he needed to change. So if we're thinking of being God, then we cannot be a disciple. And we make a very dangerous guru. These are some of the principles being discussed here. Very important subject. It's very important to distribute these books. You see, there are so many... Prabhupada makes it very clear that these activities are sinful, and people in modern Hindu society, modern Hindus, they think that, well, it's all okay. Many of them think like that. It doesn't matter. Eating meat, smoking, drinking. What's the harm? No harm. We're all God. Everything's God. Or every opinion is as good as any other. So in this way, they are contaminated. So please distribute these books, which is the light, Purana Ko Duno Didaha, to give light in the darkness of this Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna.